Thank you for how you choose to move in this place, Father. I pray that as the worship team gets started, Lord, that you would begin to just interact with us in a fun way today, Lord, that we would get to experience you in your funness, Lord, that those of us who maybe we would step out a little bit more, Father, and do something differently than we would normally do just to engage with you on a different level today, Father. I thank you for everyone that has just made it here today. I pray that you would just bless them as the service goes. In Jesus' name, amen. just want to kind of go back into that one more time if we can, worship team. And church, I just challenge you guys, because we have a freedom that other places don't. We actually get to move our bodies and sing out loud the name of Jesus where others can't right now. And so I want us to begin to sing for them too. I want us to move our bodies like they can't move, because our God is alive, you guys. Yeah. He came and he fought for us, and he did it so willingly. And I just want us to have fun with him today. I want us to be able to engage with him in a fun way. Even if you want to sit down, I want to hear you. So sing a little louder than the enemy. So if you have doubts going through your head, I want you to sing louder than those things. And I want you to pull up a chair for the enemy and make him watch you. Praise the Lord even still, even when those things are not good in your life or something isn't going well, because we get to. We get to. All right, ladies.
I want to add to that. In prayer time today, Nancy used a word that we don't associate with being Christians. She used the word fun. Worship is fun because we get to. And she explained that when it comes to, like, when my children, my grandchildren come and they spend time with me and cultivate that, that's fun for them to come and be with me. We're coming to be with our Father. He wants us to have fun in his presence when we worship him. When we are just standing there, he wants us to have joy in his presence. And a lot of times we forget that being a Christian can be fun. We're not rule bound. We are not ritual bound. We are love bound. And we have joy and we have fun in the love that Christ has for us. And we have fun showing it back to him. That's what he wants from us. We all think of amen as the end of a prayer and that's done. But amen means I've sealed it in you, Lord. Lord, you have sealed me. This is what amen means. It is a sealing. So when the blessings are prayed upon you and you receive those blessings and those favors from God, you say amen. So you seal yourself in them. That is what amen means. It doesn't mean the end of a prayer. It doesn't mean the end of anything. It means that you have sealed yourself in it and you will walk in that.
In your hands from the moment. Hello. So, back at the end of last year, we had a prayer meeting, and I remember one of the prayers was that we would till the ground and prepare it for planting seeds. And I just declare right now that the ground is tilled, and now it is time to plant our seeds, whether it be a tiny flower seed to a big oak tree, that we will just plant our seeds in people's lives and on this earth, and that we will make our mark. So, Lord, I just pray over today. I just pray over this service that it would just be blessed by you, and that every heart in this room would just be touched, Lord. And if not everyone, just at least one person would just be touched by you. In Jesus' name.
You're going to give that to Mom? It's all wrapped up. My goodness. Check, check. How many of you guys know that there is no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit?
Amen.
That Holy Spirit isn't reserved for just the wise and those that are up there in years, but that he can speak to, I didn't say it, Gay.
The golden oldies.
He doesn't reserve himself just for those who have been doing this a while, but he speaks through the young as well as those who have been in it for a while. And so we just believe in this house that the way that God is moving in us as adults, he is moving in the little Milas that are two. He's going to move in this one right here if he ever decides to come out.
Oh, he's moving. He's moving in them, I'll
and
tell you
so
that.
And so we just thank you. We just thank Jesus that he trusts us even when we're young and 10 and play Fortnite 5 hours a day, that he still moves in our lives. yeah. God is just so excited to see you guys. You guys realize that? Like,
Amen.
I just feel like it's so significant for you guys, for everyone in here to know that he's so excited to meet with us. And, you know, we're on Baby Watch 2021. Today's her due date. So it could happen right now, you know?
No.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah. And, I know there's a nurse. But the thing about it is we don't even know this kid, but we're so excited to see him. We're so excited to meet him. We're so excited to just be in his presence. And I just feel like even that is just a small ounce of what the Father feels for us, is that he is so excited to be with us. And he's so excited when we come and not just on a Sunday morning, but when we wake up before we go to work and we just give him praise, or, you know, when we get home and, or we were at work and we're just, you know, say, thank you, Lord. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm here with you. I'm here with you driving this FedEx truck, delivering these 100+ packages to the people of Yakima. Like, he's just so happy to be in your presence. And so, I just wanted you guys to know that. Real quick, we have an announcement. We have a church cleanup day, a spring cleaning, if you will, on the 27th of this month. It's a Saturday. And so we have a couple of projects that we want to get done inside the building and outside the building, and lunch will be provided. We're all going to meet here at 10 a.m., and Pastor Mike said we'll be here till maybe 4 a.m., and so...
kidding.
We'll be here till... Okay.
Oh, okay. There we go.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I'll be gone at 11 a.m. And so, So the mark it on your calendars, the 27th of this month, and we're going to do a couple projects on the around the church, and get things going. And so, I think that's it. That's all I have to say about that. Pastor, am I good to use this, or are you gonna mess with stuff up there?
Oh, yeah. PayPal.
Oh, go for it.
Oh. I can? I was like, I just saw the... All right. Hey, guys. This is the tithing electronically, yes?
Yeah, so...
Oh, look. There it is.
I'm going to talk about it because Nancy's actually never done this. I've done it. So, you go to our website, and there's a donation tab.
Yeah, what's the website, babe?
ChurchEverywhere.com. No, it's onelifefamilyworship.org. And so you go to the donations tab and you click on the PayPal. It's really easy, really simple. And, you know, if you create a profile, it saves all your information. That way, every time you want to give, all you have to do. What I did on my phone is I just saved a bookmark. That way, every time I want to give, I just click it and it knows my information. And I just say, here, church, take all my money. And then, you can give as little or as much as you want. $10, $1 million, we are not going to reject it. And so if you want to give, if so into the church, or if you want to, you know, if there's something special you want to give into, you can just go and that's how you give. So.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
As well as is in here, yes. Oh, our little tithe box over there.
And if you missed that one on your way out, there is one by the mirror.
Yes.
Towards the exit.
Or just write checks to me, and I'll make sure it gets where it gets to. Yeah, don't do that. Okay, so we are going to we're going to pray for our nation and our city. And before we get into that, is there anyone who feels on their heart to pray for either of those, to pray for our nation or to pray for our city? So we'll do it.
Okay.
So. So we've been, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've been going after this where we just believe that it is our mandate that we pray for our nation, that we pray for our government, that we're not just praying for the party that we want in office, but the one that is in office, and as well as praying for our city, because we believe that we are called to see revival happen in our city. And regardless of if we are a big church or a small church, we still have that mandate. And so, which one do you want to pray for?
I'll take the seat this time.
Okay. So, why don't you go first?
Oh, Papa, thank you so much for the city of Yakima. Thank you for just how much it's grown over the last several years, Father. And I just declare a blessing over all the small businesses here, Jesus, like earlier, you know, that you would begin to, even as mandates keep sticking that they need to be closed, Father, that you would make up the lack that they might be feeling, Jesus, in the most creative of ways, God, that business would continue and families would be provided for. Father, I pray for a revival just to break out in the city of Yakima, Lord, in each one of us, God, that as we go out in everyday life, Jesus, that we would be the extension of you, Jesus, that you would give us the boldness to be your hands and feet and your grace and mercy to those around us, Jesus. I pray that from as high as Natchez Tyatin, Lord, all the way down into the Lower Valley, that's the name, Father, that you would just rain so mightily, Father, that your presence would be so thick that our grounds would be like fertile, Father, that our crops would be able to grow more abundantly than ever before. Father, that our cattle would have the best meat, Jesus, that our fruit that gets dispersed around the world, Father, would, as people touch that fruit and consume it, or the meat, Jesus, that they would be touched in such a mighty, mighty way by you. And that they would begin to seek and want to know, where is this from? And that they would begin to look into this place, Yakima, Jesus, and that people would want to sow into this city, that you would just continue to call it by its name, Jesus, and that you would restore the identity of Yakima, Jesus, through us, Father, that you would give us the words to speak and the ears to hear in Jesus' name.
Yeah, God, and we lift up our nation to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you will save our nation, God, and those places, Lord, that nobody wants to touch, nobody wants to think about, and nobody wants to pray for, God. We pray for those places right now, Lord, that a touch of God, a move of God would be seen in those places, Lord. We pray for our president, our vice president, Lord, all the representatives, God, that make the decisions, Lord, that dictate how our nation is run. We just pray for heavenly strategy, God, as they meet and as they vote and as they, all the things that they do, Lord, that I don't understand, God, that you understand. And Lord, we just bless, Lord, what they're doing. Bless the White House, Lord. God, we bless every governor, Lord, every mayor, Lord. We pray, Lord, that every person in office that holds some authority over a people group, over a city, over a town, over a state, Lord, that you would just bless them and you would touch them, Jesus. And we just thank God that you would keep them safe as well, Lord. Keep them healthy, Lord. And just bring them wisdom, Lord. Bring them heavenly wisdom that they would not make decisions based on their own understanding, but on yours. Lord, that they would be convicted, God, when they are trying, or maybe they're persuaded to do something that isn't in the interest of us, Lord, the people of the United States, God, that you would convict them, God. And that ultimately that this nation, our leaders would turn to you. That we would see a nation that serves you and that goes after you with full force. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking today about persistent prayer. This has been a core value, if you will, in our lives. Obviously, as Christians, like that's what we want to be. We want to be praying people. But it's something in our family where we've said our stake in the ground is this. We don't stop praying until we see something move. And actually, our hearts believe that it's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray, even when we don't see it in the immediate. Even when we don't see the immediate miracle or the immediate provision or you fill in the blank, we believe that we keep praying. Mm-hmm. And so, did you have something? So the verse that we're gonna read today is Luke 18, verses 1-8. Can I control this now, Pastor? It is on. Let me turn it off and then back on. There it goes. Oh, no, I got it. Okay. So, Luke, this is in the Passion, and this is a parable that Jesus was telling to his disciples. And it says, this one day, Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. He shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a civil judge, a thick-skinned and godless man who had no fear of others' opinions. And there was a poor widow in that town who kept pleading with the judge, "Grant me justice and protect me against my oppressor." He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking. Eventually, he said to himself, "This widow keeps annoying me, demanding her rights, and I'm tired of listening to her. Even though I'm not a religious man and don't care about the opinions of others, I'll just get her off my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor. Then she'll leave me alone." The Lord continued, "Did you hear what the ungodly judge said, that he would answer her persistent request? Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people?" What I love about this, and I just realized this as I was reading it the other day, because before when I would read this, I was like, God or Jesus, why are you saying this man who is thick-skinned and not religious, how is that the illustration that you're using? And as I read it again, and especially as I read it in the Passion, I realized that Jesus is saying this man who is thick-skinned and not religious and hard-headed gave in. How much more who God, who is not those things, is going to give in? God, the true judge, will grant justice in all the chosen ones who cry out to him night and day. God is not a God who just sits up there on his throne and says, okay, I hear you, but I don't really care, or it's going to happen in my time, or, I mean, it is going to happen in his time ultimately, but he's not up there trying to hold back because he's a cruel God. But instead he's saying, children, come to me, and as you pray to me and as you worship me, it actually brings me great pleasure to grant you the things that you want and desire, the things that are on your heart. Anyone who is a parent in here knows that it is our pleasure as parents when we are able to bless our children with the things that they desire.
Amen. And I think that it's not that he is that judge. I think he's the opposite of the judge that we're talking about. He is actually going to be there in those moments of lament or praying and persistence. Like he's never forsaken us or sitting up there like, okay, now you're good. He's actually in there lamenting with you and working with you and praying with you, but he's also a good father, and good fathers know all about good timing. So yes, he wants to give you these things, or maybe he doesn't, but we have to trust that it's not because he doesn't want to give you what it is that you're seeking for, but there's a timing. Yep. And when that time is right, and his timing is never, I think very rarely, if maybe ever, has it ever been my timing or in the way that I would have liked to have it come. Well, let me tell you, I'm like, okay, but when it does come and that answer is there and the breakthrough happens, it's like, wow, I never could have dreamed of that by myself. So yeah.
Here's my only struggle with, we sang the song today. I always blank what it's called, the vertical worship, do it again song. No, the one where it says you have never failed me yet. That word yet triggers me because the implication, I know the heart behind those who wrote it wasn't that they were saying God is going to fail us, but it'd be like Nancy hasn't cheated on me yet. Right? Like, so Jesus saying, like, you've never failed me yet. Like, that's the only struggle I have with that song. And I say that to say this, is that when I approach the Father, I don't approach him with this, maybe he is going to come through, maybe he's not. It's actually, no, he's going to come through because he's so good that it's impossible for him not to come through. Now, he's not a genie in a bottle. That's not what I'm preaching either. He's not someone who I just rub my magic Bible and he pops out like Will Smith and he's Aladdin now, you know, or not Aladdin, genie. But instead he's a good father that walks with us in the process. And so even though it might not be right now, it might be decades before we see the breakthrough and the thing that we're contending for, I truly believe that when we see God move in our life, his timing is perfect. It is perfect, and it's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. It's not always, but in that time of the waiting is where we grow the most. Think about in your lives when you've contended for something and you've tried, I want it to happen today. And you don't see it happen for a while, and then it happens. You're like, wow, I grew so much in that time span of me waiting. My relationship with the Lord is that much stronger in the waiting. Mm-hmm. He's just too good to not come through.
Yeah, I think we've just been conditioned in a microwave world that we expect that we're, you know, things that God's just going to go like this. But honestly, he's not about... We might be of a microwave world, but not of a microwave kingdom. Like, God is not into comfort. He's not in the business of comfort. He's in the business of growth. And, let's see here, like bearing down, almost like with labor. I don't think labor is an accident. It's on purpose that we have to bear down. We have to get in nitty gritty and get this thing out. But there's a timing in it, right? But it takes effort and it takes diligence and persistence and a good body of people to be around you to support you through it. And all those things added up. And I think the Lord called purposes for things to be that way. Like, of course he could you know, make things happen. He's sovereign. There's no doubt about that. But I think he loves us so much that he's willing to allow us to grumble a little bit, and to, because even like diamonds are one of the most valuable things in there, but they're only developed under the greatest of pressure. So, yeah.
That's really good. So like I said in the beginning, it's impossible for nothing to happen when you pray. I want us to truly get that in our hearts, that when we lift up our prayers, when we are contending, there is something happening in the spirit. There's something happening in the spiritual, in heaven. Heaven is moving on your behalf. When you are praying for healing, when you are praying for the breakthrough to happen, there's something that's already happening. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is a verse that popped in my mind as we were preparing. This is Daniel 10. Oh, yeah, I can do this. Daniel 10. And it says, this is in the Amplified. It says, "Then behold, a hand touched me and set me unsteadily on my hands and knees. So he said to me, 'O Daniel, you highly regarded and greatly beloved man, understand the words that I am about to say to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And while he was saying this, this word to me, I stood up trembling." It is a little hard to see up there, isn't it? "Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid,'" which I think is always funny because we can envision like this angel coming. Even if the angel came in the prettiest of ways, it would still be scary. But every angel, "Don't be afraid." No, that's scary. You're here now and you weren't here before. "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." Did you guys hear that? From the first day, from when you first said it, your words were heard. Mm-hmm. "I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief of the, I don't know how to say that word, celestial princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." That's it for that. This is, you know, this verse, talk about trigger. Like, I remember in our time in Reading, when we're waiting, we know how to wait, guys. We've waited to see things come through. And I remember Pastor Mike, actually, as I would call him and ask for wisdom and ask for guidance, and us like, "God," or, "Pastor Mike, I'm waiting for our breakthrough and I'm not seeing our breakthrough." And he'd bring this verse up. It's like, oh, you know, it's just like when the angel was, you know, was held in opposition for 21 days. And trying to be encouraging, I'm like, that doesn't encourage me. You're telling me that my prayer is being held back by something else. Like, that's not encouraging to me. But the reality of it is that we don't know, again, what's happening in the heavenly realm. We have no idea. Like, when we pray, like God is wanting to come through, and he is going to come through. There's also an opposing factor, and that is why we have to continue to persistently pray. Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah. And as we pray for our city as well, there's a lot of work to be done in our city. There's a lot. We cannot let up when it comes to praying for our city, praying for our nation, praying for, but I want to hone in a little bit on the city of Yakima, because as we continue to contend for the Yakima Valley, we cannot take a break. We cannot take a break. We have to continue laying down this groundwork and saying, "God, come through, Lord. Let's see a city changed for the better. Let's see the gang violence go down. Let's see the drug usage go down. Let's see your children come to know you. Let's see revival take place in this place." You have something?
Go ahead.
Okay. Children are persistent.
That's what I'm saying.
We have them. Okay, go ahead.
No. Sorry. Okay. I just didn't want to stop your point, but yeah, no, go ahead. You're good.
I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. So likening persistent prayer to childlikeness, because God, the Lord in Matthew 18, I think it's like 1-5. He talks about, in this particular one, the disciples ask him, well, who is the greatest in the kingdom? You know, like, or, I don't know. Okay, cool. Oh, we do. Look at that. Do you have the passion? Okay, awesome.
You want to read that one first?
Yeah. So the New King James says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me also. And then in the Passion Translation, it's similar, but a little different. At that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, who is considered to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom realm? Jesus called a little one to his side and said to him, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. And if you tenderly care for this little one on my behalf, you are tenderly caring for me. And for me, when I was going through this, because the Lord did just drop it in my spirit as far as like persistence and how he calls us to be childlike, was the whole idea, like I have a 3-year-old right now and I've had several kids. And as they're in that like infant stage and they're fully dependent on us, right? Like they won't do anything unless we help them and they don't know much. I mean, they have little things firing and they're receiving. They're a lot smarter than we tend to think they are, but they're persistent. Like when it comes to learning how to talk, just because they say something wrong or maybe don't form a word at all, they continue and keep making more noises until sometimes they're yelling because they just are so excited that their voice is operating. And then comes walking or crawling and it's like, yep, they might knock their head or tumble over and be a little bit hesitant, but they're going to keep going by golly until they get that step in, right? And so for me, I also wanted to know what that word humble what the Lord meant by it. So I went into Help's word studies, and in the Greek, I can't say it. It's T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O, but which means low, make or become low or to humble. And so with the believer, show humility or true lowliness happens by being fully dependent on the Lord, as a child would be fully dependent on a parent, right? Dismissing reliance upon yourself or self-government and emptying carnal ego. That exalts the Lord as our all in all and prompts the gifts of his fullness in us. So these persistent prayers have to come from that childlikeness. We have to take off our adult knowledge, if you will, the things that we grow to learn and the filters that we begin to put on and just begin to be like a little kid. Little kids have no filters. They ask the darndest questions in the most inappropriate times. Sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't do that. And they're persistent. Like my little 3-year-old, she's my pistol. I love her so much and she grows me every day. All my kids have, they are all strong. But like there's something about her. My firstborn was obedient to a fault, even though she wasn't afraid to tell me who's who or what's what. My son, cheeky, he knew he was cute, so he played that card and like, wait, you mean don't touch this? But my 3-year-old now has totally thrown the parenting book out the window. I have to start all over again because she's like, yeah, still worth it. I'm going to do it anyway because she needs to know for herself that she knows that she knows that, oh yeah, that probably wasn't such a great idea.
And the thing is about Lay is I was saying even before she's 3 now. So we've been dealing with this for 3 years, almost 4 years. When she was a baby, she would not go to sleep by herself unless we were with her. And you know, you can try to like give all the advice you want to like, oh, this is how it should be done, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we try to wait her out. We're going to put her down. She's going to cry. We're going to do that whole thing. 2 hours. We're talking just like hours of crying. 'Cause she's like, she knew, she made it up in her mind. I am not going to sleep by myself in this crib. Same thing with, you know, she was a breastfed baby. She did not want a bottle. She's like, I will starve. I will not eat anything else unless my mom is here and I'm breastfeeding. Like that, like, and I'm talking all day. Like, this is a baby. You would think eventually she's going to get hungry and we can put a bottle in her mouth. And she's like, nope, I don't want that.
She
I want the real thing.
She refuses it every time. So it's that kind of persistence, that kind of faithfulness, that kind of determination that we need to be praying for any and all things that we're going after, because it is really easy when, you know, to pray, especially when we are desperate.
Yeah.
We just want it to happen so bad, like right now, and it's easy to get frustrated in that desperation and forget the why in which we started. And so posturing our hearts for the long run with this birth, my beautiful midwife keeps telling me, oh, it's number four. He'll come early, like, you know, 37, 39 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You don't know the Lopez kids. They're stubborn and they like to do what they want to do. And he's shown it today. Should be here today, I guess. But no, I bet you he probably won't even come till the end of the week or something, just because that's how my kids do, 40 plus. And it's just been kind of fun walking this out. But I, for a little while there, got comfortable in the idea, like, oh, you know, she might be right. You know, maybe it is number four. I'll have it easy. I'll come a little early. It'll be great. And then I kind of took my head out of the game. And then I began to get more and more frustrated because contractions are happening. But I believe my body is so good to me, good enough to me to allow me to go through that trying time of, you know, contractions until 3:30 in the morning and then stopping and then starting up at 6:30 again and going until 8:30 and then stopping. And, you know, 4 to 6 minutes apart, sometimes two, and intense, and I'm sweating. And all the wrong places, and I'm frustrated. But then it's like, oh, actually, I'm being conditioned for the marathon. Like, I'm not, this isn't a sprint, this is a marathon. This is meant to be difficult and not to make me, like, not to tear me down, but to build me up and to have my body be ready. So when the time comes, I believe, and I'm speaking and I'm praying and believing for that, it's just going to go swiftly and amazingly. And there might be a hiccup or two, but all in all, God has it, right? But just being persistent. So I had to get my head back in the long run and remind myself, this is not a microwave thing. This baby isn't coming until the baby's ready. My body can try to evict it all at once, but until this baby knows, okay, I'm good, God will release and things will happen. But it's keeping your head in the long run and being like a child and just realizing, also with children, they don't have filters. But so then coming to the Lord and letting him know, as a child would, this sucks. I really don't like being in this position. Please help me. And just allowing him and inviting him into the situation in a very raw and real way is something that we don't practice. I think as adults, we filter and we try to protect Jesus' feelings. We try to make sure that we're sounding and being respectful of the sovereignty of who he is, and forgetting that he's also fun and he's also a dad. And dads don't want... I, as a mom, don't want my kids to come to me with words that they think I need to hear. I want to hear what they really need to say. And we'll work out how it comes out and, you know, work that up. You know what I mean? But I would much rather the honesty and the rawness than to have this developed, beautiful idea that isn't really communicating the heart and what is going on.
That's good. That's what the Lord wants.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thanks.
The thing about it too, and you continue to use the analogy of giving birth, is that there's a reason why we don't want the baby to come too early. Like 5-10 weeks ago, that would have been too early.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time. And so think about that as you're pursuing and contending for something. Like, you don't want a premature breakthrough. Because when it actually is time for your breakthrough to come, it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be at the right time.
It'll be fully developed.
And so posture, you know, position yourself as a child, and then you receive a father. And so, you know, God is such a good father. He knows how to engage with persistent children. He's not afraid of your persistence. He's not afraid. He's like, all right, shut up already. Like, no, he actually knows how to engage with that type of persistence. The example I have, because I've never given birth, is so a few years ago. Well, actually, no, 11 years ago now. There's a team. It's God's chosen team, the Seattle Seahawks, and there was something called the Beast Quake. And if you watch football, you're aware of it. And what it is that Marshawn Lynch, who has since retired, they were playing against the New Orleans Saints, and it was a division game, I believe, and they were about to lose. And Marshawn Lynch, from more than halfway of the field, ran a touchdown. The simplest way to say it. The reason it's significant is because it wasn't like we've all seen the plays, I'm sure, even if you don't watch football at all, we've seen where a guy gets the ball and nobody touches him and he just runs. This wasn't one of those instances. This was an instance where 10 of the 11 players on the opposing team actually touched him and wrapped themselves around him. And he was pushing people off. He was spinning. He was juking everybody out. And he scores the touchdown. The stadium roared so loud and jumped up and down so loud that it registered as an earthquake in Seattle. My point in saying this is that there was a persistence that happened in Marshawn Lynch as he was running the ball. And I think about that. I was like, wow, if I was that persistent with my prayer as I'm going through that breakthrough and said, okay, this thing is going to block me. Nope, I'm going to push that out of the way. This thing is in my way. Nope, I'm going to keep going. Oh, I'm too tired, or oh, I haven't seen my breakthrough, or it's been so long, or you know, whatever the reason is. But instead, no, I see the finish line, or I know the finish line is over there. I know God at the end of this is going to see me through this. I know that at the end of this, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to push through. And I'm going to hold on to this thing, hold on to whatever I'm believing for in my breakthrough. And I'm going to keep contending. We contend every day. Our daughter, she struggles with asthma and allergies. And this is something that we've been contending since day one. And we've said, she's 13 years old now. And some would say, well, why don't you know, this is just who she is. This is just what she has. But we say, no, because there's no asthma in heaven. Therefore, there can't be asthma here. There's no allergies in heaven. Therefore, there can't be allergies here. And so even though we see the struggle on her from occasion, that today's one of the days where there's a struggle in her and in the allergies, we keep contending. And we keep holding on to that faith. Say, God, we're going to see this through. Wednesday night, we went to I visited another youth ministry, and I took my kids with me, my older kids with me, and my daughter went up for prayer at the end, and she's contending. So they asked, "What do you want prayer for?" She said, "I want prayer for asthma. I want to get healed of this." So the pastor is praying for her. Now, rewind a little bit. 6 years ago or so, I was praying for my daughter, and the word that the Lord gave me was, I'm going to give your daughter golden lungs. So that's the word, the declaration that we hold on to when it comes to Skylie, is golden lungs, golden lung, golden lung. The pastor praying for her Wednesday night said, God's giving you golden lungs. Mm-hmm. And then, as he's praying, the worship team starts playing the song, Great Are You, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. That is the song that we declare. That is our anthem in our home that we declare over our daughter. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was a reminder that God is like, I am still in this thing. I am not letting up in this thing. I'm still in the game. I'm still here, and I'm still going to be with you. Can God take it away right now? Absolutely. And I don't, it's one of the mysteries of God. And I don't ever want to have all the answers, but it's just the mystery of God of why it's not happening right now. But still, I'm seeing something that is taking place in my daughter's
heart. Right. And she's even had visions of the Lord. Like, he gave her a treasure chest. She was just turned 6, and she got this treasure chest, and she starts pulling out this chain, and it's gold. And she's like, Lord, what is this? And he said, look again. And it wound up being golden, a golden set of lungs. Oh, wow. That he placed in her chest. So as a six-year-old, but then, you know, so we're all excited, you know, okay, great, this is it, it's going to happen. And it's been time after time where all of a sudden out of nowhere, we almost lost her that year due to pneumonia because the asthma had taken over. And if we hadn't got her to the hospital when we did, we would have lost our daughter. She was so without oxygen that they took her off the oxygen just enough for her to try to go to the bathroom. And the nurses had to rush in and get her hooked up because she passed out before she'd get to the toilet. And it was just down the hall. So it's frustrating as a parent when you're like, but you gave her golden lungs, Lord. What do you mean? Like, this shouldn't still be happening. And watching my daughter go, like, not be able to go to certain family members' houses or to certain places just because it's like, oh, are missing out on birthday parties because there's dogs and stuff, which she continues to contend. Sometimes she'll go anyway because she just wants to test these lungs. She's like, something's got to make these things activate. And this is we've blessed her to take over this journey on her own. So I'm like, if you don't want to have to take this, let's find some natural alternatives that the Lord has created and we'll do this. And letting her lead that, because sometimes she's like, yeah, Mom, I really do want to go. And I'm like, okay, you understand that this is what the potential. So how can we prepare you? And she's like, God's got this. But it's so hard when you see her and she's so full of faith and we go. And there are times when it's fine, nothing happens. And she's like, yes, yes, yes. But then there's that one time when her allergies start to kick in or her breathing starts to erupt and she can't get air all the way in, and it just destroys her sometimes. But she has to just recalibrate. And now she's like, I'm frustrated because I know the golden lungs are here. I saw him put them in my body. But it's frustrating when they're not activated the way they're supposed to be. But she's like, but I have to believe that God knows the time when the timing will be perfect. And so she's still holding on to that, even still. And it's been a long, long, long road. And it'll probably, I believe it's going to be sooner than later. But even if it isn't, I just need her to know. I've done my job if she knows that no matter what, God is still good. God is still on the throne. God is still for her and still can and wants to and has. So regardless as to what is happening in the natural and the kingdom, I know that something's there. It's just being persistent and still clinging on even when all hope might be lost.
And so, what we do is we don't build bad theology in the waiting.
No.
Many a times what I see, and the saddest thing to me is when I see believers in the waiting for breakthrough or in the midst of pain, then build the theology is, oh, this is God's will. This happened because God wanted to use my daughter's asthma for blah, 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 blah. I don't believe that for a second. Because I know that we're in a fallen world. And I know that because of that fallen world, there are things that happen and there's a real enemy that is trying to pursue. However, we have a real God that is pursuing that much more. Mm-hmm. And so in the midst of our waiting, in the midst of our pain, we don't build bad theology in that we stay true to, well, God is still good. You struggle with breathing, God is still good. Mm-hmm. You have pain in your life, God is still good. He is still mm-hmm. our healer. And we've heard of testimonies of people getting healed from asthma. So we know he is a healer.
We've been there when it happens. And so there is an authority on us to be able to go after those things. But for whatever reason, she's the one. And it drives me nuts. There's a righteous indignation in me that every time it happens, the anthem is, it's the breath. It's your breath in her lungs, and we'll pull up a chair and we will praise the Lord even still, even when she's struggling and she's trying to get air in or whatever, and we're praying over her. I make sure the enemy watches every minute of it, because he's going to watch in this moment of desperation when God comes over and he makes that breakthrough happen and the air gets all the way down, and he's going to wish he'd never touched her. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, it's a real thing. That mama bear thing, let me tell you. You touched my daughter, you are going to pay. And he does every single time. But for whatever reason, he doesn't learn. He's not very smart. But I tell you, I know that, but I have to believe that there is a mandate on my daughter's life that is so big and so strong. And sometimes when there is those things, the enemy can't create things, but he can distort things and twist them, right? He winds in truth and makes it seem different. So we have to be cautious not to fall into those ideologies and take our foreheads off of papas, but stay focused on what God says about the situation. Continue in that persistence and believe with all your heart that he's still good. He's still on the throne. He's still for you. And His timing is perfect, even though it's not ours. So, yeah. Good. Did you have some?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanna, again, I reinforce this all the time because whenever you see and experience something like that in your life, you just have to remember that if the enemy is doing something in your life and he's attacking you, and you know, no matter how long it is, whatever he intends for evil, God will make it good. And so, like you said, there will be a day that he goes, "Oh my, what have I done?" Because it's almost like the more the attack is happening, the greater the glory that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's that. Is that he'll twist it, but he can only twist it so far. But that just means that God has that much more glory at the end of it, right? So going for that, like I had a toothache, an infected tooth a couple years ago. We didn't have any money, really. We were working, but it was just like there was no way for us to be able to get in and get this done when we wanted to. And I guess it could have gone to the ER, but I was like, no, you know what? I want to see God do a miracle. That was my decision. I'm like, you know, I could go, I could ask for money and pay them back or whatever, but I want God. I just wanted it to be his. And so 3 months went by and this thing just kept getting worse and worse. It was like to the point where all day it was, I mean, there were moments I could set it aside because I had to get things done or whatever, but I was in tears. I was frustrated. I was angry. I started getting this rash on my hand that went all the way up my arm, my right arm, all the way down the right side of my back. And I knew something was going on, but I'm like, okay, God, you still have to make this move. Like, I need your miracle, whether it be that he grows a new tooth or he restores the one that I have or whatever. But then I just felt this release one day because I had a friend that kept asking me, she's like, how are you doing? Because I hadn't said anything to anybody. I didn't tell them anything. I wanted this to be between me and the Lord. And as we're talking, I was like, yeah, I'm good, you know. And she's like, no, how are you really doing? I just feel that you're laid on my heart. I need to know. So I just began to open because I felt this releasing. I gave her, you know, told her what was going on. I said, I'm not telling you because I need you to fix this. I'm telling you because I need a prayer warrior in my corner and I need this to get better somehow because something's going on and I know something's wrong, but God's been holding it at bay. And she's like, okay, I'll be praying for you. Well, then, you know, she went home that night, her and her family started praying for us. And then the next day they came to me with a check and said, we want you to go get this done. We felt the Lord gave us a certain amount of money. I want you to go and take that and get the procedure done that needs to happen. So I was like, are you, like, I told you I didn't want you to fix it. I don't need you to do this. She's like, this is God's thing. I wouldn't just do this. This is not an amount that you just give to people. This is something that's going to take care of everything. The Lord said that it will take care of everything. And it was a big amount. So I went, I got this stuff done. I went in to go get the x-rays and the lady looked at me and she's like, I have no idea how you are here, why you're still alive or not in a hospital hooked up to a machine. She's like, this stuff, she like pulled up my sleeve. She's like, that is infection in your bloodstream. You should not be alive right now. That tooth is so compact. She's like, I just don't get it. And I was like, but I do. I was like, that's my miracle. God's been contending and he's been holding it at bay. And I know, yep, I see the signs. That's fine. But that's my miracle. And she's like, what are you talking about? How, like, why are you rejoicing right now? You are like, you must be miserable. And I'm like, I've been miserable, but I am so hopeful because if you're telling me what you're telling me, then I know that God is so good and he has been listening to me and he's been holding back and this is my miracle. And she's like, so then she asked a little bit more about who this Jesus was. So even if it was just for that one person, for her to be able to receive that and know, like, I don't know if I planted a seed. I believe I did. But for her to be able to see that and for me to be able to hear that was just this amazing thing. But we got it taken care of. The rash started going away except for 3 little bumps on my thumb that just continue to remind me of where I've come, how far I've come with the Lord and what he did for me and my family. Because that was pretty amazing. It was miserable in the time, but it's amazing to know like how good he is and that he does answer prayers, even though it didn't look like it in the moment. But to realize my life is mine because he continued to be steadfast with me.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Let's. I want to end with this. God is big.
Amen.
Enemy small. God big. I say that to say this: we need to stop making the enemy that much bigger in our life.
Right.
I don't focus on the enemy I've heard it said like this. Bill Johnson from Bethel Church says it like this. He says, I only focus on the enemy enough to get him in the crosshairs so I can pull the trigger. And so if you think about it, it's like, yeah, sure, I can look at this thing and say, this thing isn't happening while the enemy is really... It's like, how about I focus on what I want to see to happen, that God's going to move in this thing, instead of focusing on what I think the enemy might be doing, because we know he's trying to do stuff, he's trying to move, and et cetera, et cetera. But when I stand firm in my faith, when I stand firm in the fact that I'm a child of God, that I am a son, that I'm his favorite, then all the stuff that's not happening becomes a little bit less important, because what I then focus on is the fact that God has me. And when I begin to continue to pray in that way, and my heart is in a persistent position, then I get to then receive the blessings from God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. If anybody has anything, this is your time. Otherwise, I'm going to pray. So, Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are here, that you are the way maker. God, and we just pray a blessing over your children today, over each and every one of us. And God, as we continue to contend, Lord, for revival in our own personal lives, in our families' lives, in our city, Lord, as we persistently pray for this, God, we pray that you would meet us there, God. The way you want to meet us there, Lord. The way you want it to look, God. We all might have ideas of how it should look or how we want it to look or what it should sound like, God. But, Lord, we want your will to be done. And so, God, we just pray a blessing over this congregation, over this house, Lord. Those that are listening online or listen to this later, God, that you would fully come through in a miraculous way, Lord, that healings would take place, God. Lord, that heaven would invade your children. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Jesus, that you're always moving. Lord, that you never stop. And even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, that you never stop. Yeah. We thank you, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, a blessing over this week, Lord, and over every work week, over every school week, God, over just everything we have, we get to do this week, God, that you would just be with us. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Awesome. Well, yes, love you guys, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Yeah, if you need prayer, we're here.